Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name's Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, November 14th, and today we're reading from the big book. We are on page 59, reading that introductory paragraph and steps 1 and 2. Today's readers are Sandy T. for the 12 steps, Letty G. for the traditions. Margaret D. will read and comment on our share. Shelley E. will close us out with 164, and Becca R. is here for backup. And thanks to Diane B. for greeting our newcomers, and Leslie M. for closing us out with some announcements. Thank you all so much. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21909. That's 21909. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of A Vision for You, is 21915. That's 21915. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Sandy T. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Sandy T. from California. Here are the steps as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unimaginable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Everyone have a wonderful day. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sandy. And I'll now ask Letty G. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Letty G. from Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm recovered for today and continue to recover, God willing. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much for allowing me to do service, and I just want to wish everybody a beautiful day in recovery. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Letty G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 59, the first short paragraph, and the steps 1 and 2. And I will now ask Margaret D. to please begin reading for us.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. My understanding of these simple sentences has changed so much over the years. And what I'm coming to understand for myself is that recovery doesn't seem to be a straight path, if you will. It's like you go over here and you try that and that didn't work. So now you go over there and then you try and lift this and, oh, that didn't work. So now I'm going to sit over here. Nope, that's not. You know, and then I'll take a step there and, oh, that worked. And some days you go 2 steps forward and 5 steps back and what have you. But step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food or alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. When I first got into program, to me, to admit something was, yeah, I can admit that Thursday comes after Wednesday. You know, I can admit that human beings are born as newborns and, you know, advance into being toddlers and then children and teenagers and adults, whatever. There's a lot of stuff that I can admit that just does not have any emotional impact to me. And so, for the first, from 1987 to 2012, maybe it was, that was how I worked step 1. And I didn't understand why I was not getting anywhere at all. The intuitive knowledge finally came to me because I was literally bashing against the wall trying to get, quote unquote, get this, was that in a sense, it was like I had to admit everything that I thought or knew was wrong, just totally wrong. And that's a big thing to have to do. And the other part of it was, I thought that, well, if I had to admit that I would like evaporate or become nothing. But it was only by admitting that I was powerless, that the step that came in was, well, somebody's got power here, and it's not me. Well, I guess it's God. And when that actually became a realization that I didn't have to choose anything for myself anymore, because God could and would choose for me. And it was such a
center of mind.
And I'll wrap it up with this. It was just a moment, such a moment of serenity and peace. And now every day, for me, that is step one about I just need to, I give up choosing for myself. And then I see what God's got. Simple, but not easy. Pass.
Thank you very, very much, Margaret D., for starting us off. Very powerful. Although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to comment, please press star one to unmute and give me your name.
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Karen
Maria
KZ.
C in Los Angeles.
Maria C.
Dawn B.
Becky O. Dawn B and Becky O.
Paula Q.
Paula Q.
Becca
that
R.
Sounds like a Becca R.
Susan G.
Okay. Susan G.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, well, let's start with this. I've got Kara KZ, Maria C, Dawn B, Becky O, Paula Q, Rebecca, Becca R, and Susan G. If I got your name wrong in any way, please let me know when it's your turn to share. And we're going to kick it off with Karen KZ. Please share with us.
Thanks so much. This is Karen KZ, recovered in Missouri. Oh my gosh, I love these first two steps. And I realized early on I wasn't just powerless over food, if you will. I was powerless over my emotions. I was powerless over other people, the traffic, the weather. I mean, I literally was powerless over everything. And boy, I thought I was in charge of everything. And that's the reason for all my suffering, is that not the humility to understand that of myself, I cannot solve not just the food issue, but the life issue, the emotions, the getting upset about all these kinds of things. I'm powerless over all of that. And because I'm powerless over all that, and I think I'm in charge of everything, my life is unmanageable, quite frankly, and I'm trying to manage and control every detail of it. However, what a great, 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 great relief to know that there's a power greater than me that can restore me to sanity. And I learned that that power is within me and all around me. It is everywhere. You know, for me, God is in everything and everybody all the time. And when I realize it's not my human power is useless, but that power, that greater power that's in me, that is what restores me to sanity on a daily basis. And I have to, not just when I wake up, but throughout my day, I have to invite God to take me over, to think his thoughts through me, to speak his words through me, to act his actions. So he's glorified, so that the credit doesn't go to me when people say, oh, you're so wise and you're so... No, no, no. It's because I've given everything over to God. So I love these steps and I love this program. And I love all of you. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen KZ. Maria C., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Dawn B.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Maria C. in California. Very happy to be here today. You know, listening to this, I found myself reflecting on, you know, not the first time I heard step one or the first time I thought I worked step one, but when I actually got to step one, because I'll have people ask me, how long have you been in OA? And it's like, oh, 7 years, but I haven't been abstinent that long. you know, a little over 2 years ago, I'd been in the rooms for years, had been kind of waffling, but always came back. And I reached a new top weight around the holidays last year, almost at around this time, and had acid reflux so bad I couldn't talk for a month. I would cough. I had a coworker at a holiday party lecture me about how I was going to get everybody sick. And I was trying to say, oh, it's my acid reflux, but I couldn't talk because I just was not present there in a way that was helpful to anybody. And I remember walking home crying and just thinking, I don't know what to do. And then eating more of that food when I got home anyway, even though my throat was raw. And then in January, I finally admitted I was powerless over the food, really and truly. And, you know, I'd been hearing it for years, but just all of a sudden, I guess I was just ready to listen. And maybe God was making me ready for that moment. But, you know, I've got to say that moment of walking down the street, walking down the sidewalk, just sobbing as strangers passed me. Here I am 2 years later, and I'm down 140 pounds. And I'm living a life, and I'm active, and I feel my feelings, and I don't numb with food, and I'm free in a way that I never was in my life, not even as a child, because I've had this addiction since I could walk. So step one was the beginning of something beautiful, even if in the moment it felt really tough. So that's all I have to share. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marie C. Dawn B., you're up next, followed by Becky O.
Oh, thank you so much. This is Dawn B., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Beautiful shares already. Step one, I admit where I am powerless over alcohol, over compulsive overeating, my alcoholic foods, and my life has become unmanageable. Absolutely. It took me 34 years in the rooms before I was able to get abstinent for any length of period of time. So if you have been struggling for years and just not getting it, please know that this is a powerful program and it absolutely works. I have to admit, step one, that I am absolutely powerless. I cannot control. I tried for 34 years to eat my alcoholic foods in moderation. It did not work. And I had to just absolutely surrender and realize this is life or death for me. This will kill me. This will take me out. And I had to just collapse before my higher power and say, I cannot do this, God, but you can. And the beautiful thing is that when I give up trying to control and completely rely on my higher power, miraculous things happen. Incredible things happen. And not just with the food. That's just the starting point. It's like the tip of the iceberg. There's a beautiful transformation that happens through my entire life, through my thinking. So it's not just, you know, my compulsive overeating. It's how I interact with people. So I declare I'm powerless. God, you alone can do it. And if it's God's most loving will for me to put down the food, pick it up again, then I can trust that I'm going to be receiving divine help to be able to do that. So I'm no longer relying on my shaky abilities. I'm relying on the creator of the universe's abilities. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I get to relax. And I get to just rely on a God that loves me beyond what I can begin to comprehend with my mind. And just surrender. It's not about trying harder and beating myself up because I'm either powerless or I'm guilty. What is my choice to be? I can't be both. I can't be powerless and guilty, deserving of punishment. And I embrace my powerlessness, not just over the food, but over people, places, and things. And I surrender and I say, there is something that can restore me to sanity. And it's not about trying harder. It's not about knowledge. It's not about logic. It's about surrendering to a higher power much greater than me and putting everything, my whole self and the issue into God's hands and saying, your will be done, not mine, God. Whatever your will is, I accept it. I welcome it. And I say, thank you. Your will be done, not mine. And it's a beautiful way of life. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Don D. Becky O, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Paula Q.
Good morning. It's Bessie O, recovered compulsive overeater. That's okay.
Thank you, Bessie. And, sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem at all. Thank you for taking the meeting. So Bessie O, recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I am just so grateful for the gift of a very clear and simple message that I've received in the last couple of months regarding, you know, step one and what step one means, and step two and what step two means. And, you know, I would just say my I've been in OA since 2013, and it's just been a series of, you know, surrendering and then very slowly taking like that, making that admission of powerlessness. And then denying that powerlessness. And it's not like this overnight affair. It's just this very slow, insidious process over and over again. And, you know, I'm reminded when my daughters were really little, just little toddlers, we made these picture books and we moved far away from my parents. And then we were visiting them and we were going to give them as gifts. And they, you know, they're just not a very crafty person, but, you know, they had cloth and cute little pictures of our new life. And I remember my youngest daughter, she handed it to my father, and then she took it back, and he just left, and she ended up taking it back with her because she just did not want to part with that gift. And my father was just so loving, you know, just looking at her with such love, and that's the way I feel like my higher power has been with me, you know, in this process. And I love what I'm hearing in these messages, because my surrender, it has to be complete, and it feels complete, and it's coming from a place of like obedience and love, not perfection. And what I get in return, you know, came to believe that a power greater than, so we take that step one, just complete and entirely, you know, with, and then this power steps in, and we read in We Agnostics on the bottom of page 50, in the face of collapse and despair and in the face of total failure of their human resources, we find that a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction flowed into them. This happened soon after one wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. So these steps, you know, it's been such a shift. And I think what I'm so grateful for is just a very simple message. And I just complicate things so much and doing so much without actually taking this first step and letting go of the foods and the food behaviors. But when I do that, it's just incredible what flows in. So I'm going to pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bessie O. Great timing. Okay, we have Paula Q up next, followed by Becca R. Please share with us, Paula.
Good morning, moderator. Thank you for your service. This is Polly Q, recovered in Northern California. I have, for a year at least, trained for a trip, hiking trip. I'm not a hiker, by the way. I just started 2 years ago, down the Grand Canyon and back up on a tour, a hiking tour. There were five of us, all women. I think they expected it to be bigger. If you do, you get to maybe use, a mule train or something to help carry your equipment. We had 37-pound backpacks on our back going down this trail. And about three-quarters of the way down, the trail's rocky. And I stepped on a rock, and it pulled a muscle on my left leg, which is my good leg. My other leg is always, the ankle's always iffy because it is, I injured it 150 pounds overweight on another trip years and years and years ago. So for a little while, the adrenaline kicked in, and I thought that I didn't feel the pain as much. But about three quarters of the way down, when it's getting close to dusk, I I started to feel the pain intensely and let my trail leader know. And she was very concerned about that. But she got behind me and we got to the camp and with the other women. And the next day I didn't do a little excursion, but rested a little bit more. And then it felt a little bit better. I put patches on it and all that stuff. My trail leader was incredibly concerned, but you don't just get rescued at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. It doesn't work like that. So, but I didn't want to quit, right? And so as the 4 days progressed, I began to feel really powerless, you know, and I was the tortoise I expected to be. It was not a big deal. But the pain was manageable and I continued on. But I started to be concerned that I couldn't do it the next day. And I wrestled with God in the middle of the night about how I was going to be able to do this. And because it's no joke. The Grand Canyon hike rim to rim is no freaking joke. And God said, after all that wrestling, surrender. Surrender. That was the answer from God. Surrender. And that is what I did. And as a result, and don't think for a second it was easy because it wasn't, I made it to the top of that Grand Canyon. So step one and step two are every day under all circumstances. With that, I'll pass.
Wow, thank you so much, Polly Q. Appreciate that. Becca R., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Susan G.
Hey, it's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. And just so great to be reading these first two steps with you guys this morning. That word that stuck out to me was admitted. And I just think of like the surrender in that word. I've admitted, I surrender, I give up, I'll try this thing. And it also brought me to thinking about the principles behind steps one and two and honesty and hope. And that my time in OA, my road has become more and more narrow. And I think it's because of these principles. I couldn't build on a gravel foundation. Like I needed something sturdier. I might have boxed that. not very good with construction. But I needed a solid foundation to build on. And so how could I be honest with my fellows if I couldn't be honest with myself about what I was doing with food? But what I found is by staying abstinent, recovered, working this step, putting my hand into the hand of God's, honesty is still prevalent, but it's embedded into this deeper, deeper immersion into these principles of what honesty looks like today for me versus what it looked like as a day one in Overeaters Anonymous is a lot different. And I feel like a year from now, 6 years from now, 60 years from now, if I stay the course, it will continue to evolve. And I'm just grateful to have eyes that see and ears that hear and to be teachable and to see. I couldn't build on anything until I was able to do that step one of just putting the food down. And surrendering, admitting, help me, I don't got this. Grateful to be here with my fellows, I know with my tribe when I hop on these meetings. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Becca R. Susan G. is up next, and after Susan, we're going to take another lineup for people who'd like to comment on this share. Please share with us, Susan G.
Thank you, Elaine, so much. Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Susan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Well, after all these shares, who doesn't want what we have in these rooms? My goodness, I've been sitting here thinking, what can I add? So let's see what I can add. First of all, if you are new, please don't leave before your miracle. As somebody else shared, it took her decades. It took me well over a decade. I did keep coming back every time I was miserable, but of course, just like Bill Wilson, I got it back and thought I could do it on my own. And I looked at these steps on the walls for years. If any of your meetings in person were ever at AA clubhouses or even at our OA offices, and it just became a song that I knew, singing the right words, because sometimes we think we know the song and we don't. And then I really started to study when I admitted I was powerless, when I admitted that I needed more than just a good diet to get thin, because that wasn't working. I'd lost 100 pounds many, many times. And I had to look at the two parts of step one, because I felt very righteous that you were telling me that my life was unmanageable. God kept on nudging me, kept tapping me on the shoulder, even though I only chatted with him on Sunday nights when I was crying. But God kept on saying, we're here, you can do this, go back to a meeting, go back to a meeting. And in the AA 12 and 12 in step one, it tells us nobody wants to admit complete defeat. And yes, that applies to me. But one day I was at the bottom. I was at that bitter morass of self-pity, just like Bill. And I had to say, I need more than this diet. Please tell me what to do. Take my hand. And a kind sponsor took my hand, and this whole fellowship, there's this quirky saying, wrap the fellowship around you like a warm blanket. And you know what, though? It's true. And you all kept me warm. God kept me safe and protected. And 25 years later, I can say I'm still working it, and it really does work. So please don't leave before your miracle, and I'm passing it back to you, Elaine. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susan G. Appreciate your share and service. Okay, now we're going to take another lineup for people who would like to comment on page 59, the sentence in paragraph 2 and steps 1 and 2. Who would like to share?
Sherry H.M.
Sherry H.M.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin P.
Marta T. in Maryland.
Marta T.
Leah S.
Leah S. I think we may have room for one more. Let me tell you who I've got. Sherry H.M., Robin P., Marta T., I believe, and Leah S. Room for one more?
I'll share. Leland P.
Leland P. All right. That's great. That should close us out. Okay. Sherry H.M., you are up next, first, and Robin P. will follow you. Please share with us. Sherry H.M. I star one to unmute.
That works a lot better. Sherry H. Recovered and grateful from Washington State. Wow, this is a great reminder for me, because I've been in another program called Al-Anon for many, many years, and some of my friends in there, had lost weight, and I was really in more years before I had the courage to walk through the doors. Well, anyway, the problem was, especially, I felt, by God's grace, I felt like a successful person, but I just had this thing. I could not stop from binging and binging and binging, especially on sugar. And I just thought, my gosh, this is just crazy. I tried everything, the pay and way, all this kind of stuff, everything I tried. So finally, I got a big bill, and I was sick of all this. I just thought, oh my gosh, I've got to try, and see what I can do. And the thing is, I can't do it, which is a blessing in disguise, because then I threw up my hands on the way back from, I'd met somebody in a Starbucks, and she told me her experience, strength, and hope on this program. And I just threw up my hands, still had a hold of the steering wheel, people. But anyway, and I just said, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. You're going to have to do it for me, because I can't. and that is the cat power, you know, leads me into the arms of a loving, wonderful God who, if I follow the steps, and that God can help me, because I, you know, I just can't do it myself. And it's about 10 and a half years later, I do not miss sugar, not one bit, ever, ever, ever. It is an absolute miracle. And I thought, oh, that'll happen to other people, but it won't happen to me. I don't know why I thought that. But you know what? It works if you really work it. And it's not a program for those who want it or need it. It's a program for those who do it. So I'm just so grateful to God. And thank you so much for this wonderful, your wonderful service. And I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Sherry H.M., for yours as well. Robin P., you're up next, followed by Marta T.
Thanks so much, Elaine, for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I'm Robin P. I am a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica, and just really grateful to be on the meeting today and for all of you. You know, I was on the phone this morning with my sponsor and having a hard time. We just had such a wonderful, magical time in London and came back to Costa Rica, and it's the height of rainy season. It's literally raining nonstop every day for the past few days that we've been here, and it won't stop until at least Monday. And you know, just oh my gosh, I'm and the roads get closed and bridges get closed sometimes. I feel trapped at times, and I just really don't like being here at this time of year. And I just have to, you know, I'm powerless over so many things in my life. You know, it's, and I'm powerless over my thinking. You know, I've gone through the steps before using the word thinking. Dr. Paul recommended that, you know, he's on Dr. Alcoholic Addicts and on the acceptance prayer. And, you know, we read page 441 this morning, just all on acceptance, and just, you know, how important it is. You know, we admitted we're powerless over food, people, places, and things, and our lives have become unmanageable. And came to believe that a power greater than ourselves restores the sanity, you know. And I'm not supposed to do this alone. And that's why it's we and not me. And, you know, I always remember, you know, wellness begins with we, and illness and isolation begin with I. And the more we I have, the better I do. And I'm so grateful. I've been reaching out more lately because I just really need to, you know, of myself, I'm nothing. You know, I'm just powerless over so many things in my life right now. And I just get to surrender and that's how I get restored to sanity. And when I turn my will and my life over to the care of God, somebody's coughing, if you could just check your mute status. When I turn my will and my life over to the care of God and pray only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out, things go the way they're meant to go. And I just get to keep practicing walking, holding God's hands, walking in faith and trust, and I know that God's got me, and he's got all of us, and no matter what it looks like. And I'm so grateful for the meeting. I'm so grateful to be restored to sanity today. It's a day at a time. You know, I'm coming up on 9 years of abstinence by God's grace and mercy, one day at a time. And I still have these moments of, like, get me out of here. You know, I just get to lean on God and all of you and let you lean on me. And together we can do what we could never do alone. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinence day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. Marta T., you're up next, followed by Leah S. Please share with us, Marta.
Hi, this is Marta, compulsive overeater in Silver Spring, Maryland. Just glad to be at this meeting. So when we say we admitted we were powerless over food, I spent my career in the legal field. And admission is a really serious concept, and it can have a lot of implications for your own personal freedom. So I take it very seriously when I make an admission. And admitting that I'm powerless over food does have a lot to do with my personal freedom, because it frees me from being personally responsible on some level that I can control over my eating. So I like that it brings in a legal concept, and that means something to me. Also, that our lives had become unmanageable. I've always been one of those compulsive overeaters that really manage, like I'm a high-functioning compulsive overeater, and so I was always able to manage my life, my career, my kids, my family, all the things in my life pretty darn well. But when I was in the food, I woke up every day and my first thought was how much I hated myself. That's unmanageable. It doesn't necessarily mean to manage things in your life, but to manage things in your brain. And when I'm abstinent, I wake up in the morning and I never have a thought of how much I hate myself. So I'm very grateful for abstinence and for this meeting. Thank you. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Marta T. Leah S., you're up next, followed by Lilan P.
Hello, everyone. My name is Leah S. from Brooklyn, New York, and I must admit I came on just about 10:30. I don't know which page and what paragraph we're reading on. Can you please remind me?
Yes, it's page 59, just the introductory sentence, but we're commenting on steps 1 and 2.
Oh, okay. So here are the steps we took. Is that one?
Yep.
Okay, good. Okay. Thank you, everyone. And thank you, Elaine. It's good to hear you. So here I am, Leah S. in Brooklyn, New York, and it's probably about 12 years now that I'm into recovery, and I can't believe what I'm saying. It's just like unbelievable. These steps have changed my entire life, and all that I've heard about being willing to admit to turn over responsibility, and for me the most really important word was vulnerable, to become vulnerable again in step 3, and to actually become very honest about myself and my program, and not to yo-yo so much. And I'm at a stage of my life where I'm going from one festivity into another. It's just like unbelievable. So last week I married off a grandson, and it was the most beautiful wedding that I have been to. And next week I'm marrying off a different grandson from another child, and I'm going with it in happiness and not pain. One of my children is not in contact with me, but because of program, I do not gossip with anyone about anything. I just accept the way things are. And it was painful at the beginning, but then I decided to focus on my happiness in seeing whoever I see and dancing with whoever I want to dance with. And that's probably what the point that I want to bring out. I'm focusing most of the time in my recovery about the positives in my life, and that just keeps me propelling me forward and doing things forward and being able to enjoy things as I do. And I'm so grateful. I'm able to dance. I'm able to do things. I'm able to run and go and think. Thank you, God. Thank you for this program. I pass.
Thank you so much, Leah S. Lilan P., you'll be our last share for today. And you'll be our last share for today. Please share with us.
Great, thanks. This is Lilan, recovering compulsive overeater in Berlin, Germany. And thank you for all the shares. Thank you for the service. I was telling my sponsor last night about the Step 1 experience that brought me into program back in January 1994. I was a college student at the time. It was winter break. I worked a couple jobs, but both those were also closed for the winter. My roommate was away.
I had almost no contact with my family at that point. Things had crumbled so severely. And I had nothing to show up for, nowhere to go. And it was just me sitting on my roommate's bed, binging every day, all day, and watching TV every day, all day. And for years, for 7 years, I had woken up every day and said to myself, today will be different. Today, I'm not going to binge. Today, I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to diet, whatever it was. And then I woke up one day and I said, I can't stop eating like this, but I can't keep eating like this. And that, for me, that was my step one. And I already, at that point, I wanted to be dead. I wished every day that I would not wake. I was a pretty low functioning compulsive overeater, and I did know that my life was unmanageable. I had already dropped out of college once, and I knew I was going to drop out again because I couldn't stop with the eating. My life had shrunk to a tiny symbol size and could not struggle to be around people, struggle to be out in the world. And so the day after I had that, I can't keep eating like this, but I can't not keep eating this like this, I was in an OA meeting, and I kind of hardly know how it happened. But I went into those rooms, and I had 70 pounds to lose, but I did not care. All I wanted was to stop binging. All I wanted was to be freed from the horror of putting food in my mouth and weeping while I ate it, because that's the point I had reached. The food didn't work at all anymore, but I was still using it, and I did not know what else to do. So I am forever grateful to the, well, I guess it was mostly men who came up with the steps and worded that first step, which seems so illogical, really, so antithetical to how we're supposed to get better. But that admission of my powerless, thank you, saved me. And I'll end there.
Thank you so much, Lulan P. And everybody's share just fabulous today. Really appreciate it. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
You bet. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.